good to be in church tonight with you all, folks. Appreciate the Lord. Appreciate Friday night. Rather be here than home with the flu, wouldn't you?
Amen.
Please take your Bibles tonight and turn to the Gospel of Luke, please. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 15. Please stand together if you would. I'm sure many of you would like to maybe just kind of stretch a little bit. I know that's a culture in some places where they all stand for the Bible, but and I'm not opposed to that, but I'm just trying to give you a little opportunity to stretch a little bit before we continue the service. Gospel of Luke, chapter number 15, a very familiar portion of Scripture to those that love the Word of God. And in verse number 11, He, the Lord Jesus Christ, in chapter 15, verse number 11, He, the Lord Jesus Christ, said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there he wasted his sustenance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you, Father, for what we've been able to enjoy thus far in the service. Thank you for the preacher. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for these great songs that we've heard sung tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be able to assemble and celebrate your blessings upon the Hopewell Baptist Church these past 30 years. Thank you for the dear pastor's wife and his family. And Lord, we pray your blessings now upon the continuation of this revival service. Please help us tonight. Please give life to your word as only you can. Stir the hearts of your people. Correct us and instruct us in righteousness. Have your will and way at the end of the service. And Lord, we'll be careful to thank you and we'll give you the glory for all that you do for us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, church. You may be seated. So oftentimes, so many people that are not necessarily in the ministry or teaching the Bible or maybe engaged in local church, they come to church and they often ask the question, what is it that brings about in the mind and heart of a preacher a sermon? Now, there's good sermons, bad sermons. There's big sermons, little sermons. There's all different kinds of sermons. There's different kinds of preachers, and we're not all the same. And that's a blessing. You know that. But circumstances in life often bombard a preacher with the issues of life. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. There are a lot of problems in life. There are a lot of circumstances in life. There's a lot of issues in life. And obviously, it's impossible for us tonight to be able to cover them all without a shadow of a doubt. But sometimes maybe it's just current events, things that are going on today. And of course they've been going on for a long time. When what brings about, you know, a meditation of the Word, the Holy Spirit directs your attention towards a theme, just a theme. And you begin to build a message around a thought. And of course, when you start thinking about the question also comes to our mind, in light of the question read tonight, what is it that makes an individual play the role of a prodigal? That's the thought that came to my attention, brought upon my heart upon seeing so many people. Why is it that good people go bad? Why is it that good families lose good kids? Why is it that good churches seem to go south? Why is it even that all the nations that forget God shall be turned into hell? Why is it sometimes that you see generation of people that had a blessings upon them and their nation now's in the graveyard as far as spiritually speaking? Well, you start thinking about a student of literature tonight. Anyone, regardless of your background, even in secular studies, agree that one of the most famous short stories ever penned to paper is found in the Holy Scriptures. And a story was told by our Lord Jesus Christ of the prodigal son. Most people are familiar with it. And when you think about it tonight, it's recorded and preserved in the Bible to try to help us. It's also a picture of the nation of Israel. They certainly had gone prodigal. They'd lost their way. And he came to help them get back to God. He came to help them prepare to meet God. You know the story. There isn't anyone that hasn't heard the story. Couldn't probably tell it better than I can tonight, inside and out. But boy, we're living in a day and time where the prodigal story is very important, very interesting, very prevalent when you think about the problems that many people have. People find themselves playing the role. People know somebody that's playing the role. People know their family's heading in the role. And boy, nobody ought to want to be an actor or play the role of a prodigal son. Well, you start thinking about how easy it is to get away from God. The old songwriter said, I've wandered far away from God. Nobody ought to want to wander away from the Lord tonight. Well, you start thinking about the thoughts that's involved in this portion of Scripture tonight. I'm sure America's a nation's filled, if the truth be known, with so-called Christians that are saved, washed in the blood, playing the role of this prodigal. They've wandered away from God. Boy, I tell you, one of the reasons why your pastor, why the church burden, why the preacher has to preach to try to encourage the dear saints of God, because we want zero tolerance. We want to see anybody go bad. We want to see one kid go south. Well, often the question is asked by the preacher, why does this happen? And it's a good question. Sometimes you think about a prodigal's attitude is a reflection of his environment. Sometimes people just don't seem to have a break in life. And I imagine in certain cases of life that happens, but it's not the case in this boy's life. This boy had a good dad, lived in a good home. I mean, he had the blessings of God, but so for some reason he ends up going south. Oh, I tell you, many parents find themselves beating themselves up because maybe one of their youngins went bad. I've heard that as a pastor over the years. Yes, people come and they say, preacher, why my boy, why my girl, why my wife, why my husband, why my grand youngins? Boy, the truth of the matter is, they did the best they could. I don't know a parent here tonight that loves the Lord isn't trying to do the best they can. So many people say, I wish I had a chance to do it over again. Well, I don't know that I want another chance to do it over again. I may do it worse. Yeah. I promise you, as a young father, as a young husband, my desire was to serve the Lord, raise my children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, take care of my dear wife, be a good minister of the gospel. And boy, I tell you, when you start thinking, why is it, what happens to youngins? We're living in a world that is obsessed with the environment. Well, we're living in politicians where they want socialism. Some of these politicians running for the Democratic ticket of the President of the United States, they believe Miami will be underwater in a few years. I mean, some of them think we've only got 12 years to live, and these are members of Congress. Boy, we're in a mess if we listen to that crowd. I understand you can get environmentally wacko, and I tell you, I love living in Alabama. I love it. That's a great place to live, but I know if heaven was a lot like Dixie, I'm telling you, we'd be in trouble. Amen? It's got all kinds of problems. And I know heaven isn't up here in North Carolina either, although some of you think it is. Amen? But I'm telling you, a lot of people, they say it's a reflection of their environment. They don't have a chance. Oh, this boy had plenty of chance. Sometimes people say a prodigal attitude is related to their associates. And I understand birds of a feather flock together. The Bible warns us in the book of Proverbs, if sinners entice thee, consent thy not. But this young boy, it doesn't give any record that he was around a bad crowd. It doesn't give any record that he was running with a bad crowd. This old boy had all the blessings of God upon him. His daddy had taught him right. And the amazing story about this father, it's amazing. He still went south. Boy, the story's told about somebody in the South. I raised two boys. And this old boy in the South, he raised a boy who became a poacher and the other became a game warden. Isn't it an amazing thing? First two boys in the Bible. One murdered his brother.
You're right.
Yeah. Oh, you go figure. How in the world can that happen to Adam and Eve? And yet it did. Boy, there was the only associate there was. Well, we identify that in just a little bit. The prodigal attitude was not related to their associates, although it can happen. You can number the wrong crowd, and they sure will get you away from God. You are who you hang with. As Brother Andrews was talking about here just a few moments ago about hanging around people in church and being around the right crowd, the prodigal attitude also could be a result of a lack of opportunity. I hear people all the time say, I tell you, I didn't have the opportunities you had. America's a blessed nation. Amen. It's still got more opportunity anywhere else in the world. Yeah. The America dream is still alive and well. It's 95% perspiration and 5% inspiration. You can make a living in this country. Yeah. Amen. Boy, a lot of people all over the world. I mean, America's got laws that promote opportunities for the underprivileged. We're down there in Alabama and they still want to raise the race card. They want to raise the gender card. They want to raise the age card. It's the female card. It's the male card. Everybody wants to blame somebody for a lack of opportunity. Yeah. I was talking to an old boy the other day working in the cemetery beside the church, and I said, man, it's a blessing to have a job. He had 35 cents. He needed 15 cents for to buy Coke. I said, I'll do better than that. I'll give you Coke and you can keep your 35 cents. Amen. Yeah. But I'm telling you, nowadays, everybody, they want to blame somebody. I mean, nowadays, they want to blame the reason for why they have to leave on maybe mom and daddy. Yeah. Oh, mom and daddy, they're just too hard on me. Oh, mom and daddy, they want to lay down the law. They want to read the Bible. They want us to go to church. They want us to be under the preaching. That's what mom and daddy's supposed to do. That's what God told them to do. But they blame them. It's your daddy's fault. He neglected you. Yeah, he's probably trying to make a living. Amen. Yeah. All these buddy-buddy dads and boys, I understand. These daughters and mothers and their best of buddies. Wonderful. I don't know anything about all that stuff. Mom and daddy didn't have time to be your buddy. They were trying to pay the bills and put food on the table and help you. Boy, we need more of that. But nowadays, everybody wants to blame their daddy. And I have a hard time with a father that neglects his kids. I'm not going to compliment any deadbeat dad. Amen. And boy, I thank God for a dear mother. Your mother didn't love you. My goodness, you have no idea how much your mother loved you. Tried to take care of you. And everybody blames them. They blame their brother. They blame their school. Oh, I tell you, didn't have an opportunity to have an education. Well, maybe you ain't got a lick of sense. Maybe you don't have enough brains. I mean, maybe you're just stupid. Yeah. But I'm telling you, the opportunities are there to improve your education. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, there's a school on every corner. There's a college. There's a junior college. There's a university. I mean, nowadays, you can get a degree online. Makes you sound like you're somebody.
Yeah.
Boy, it's everybody's fault. Now, I'm sure a lot of people could blame other people on what is the reason why they went south. We're all looking for a popcorn answer. And the preacher, he wants to try to help you. They come to the preacher and say, why? And the preacher doesn't always know why. Boy, it's amazing when you think about it. But the question, why do some people still play the role of the prodigal? And I'm here to remind you, an old preacher said one time, it's because the heart of every problem is always a problem of the heart. Yeah, nothing much has changed in 6,000 years. When your heart wanders away from God, your body follows thereafter. The prodigal son, his heart was in the far country long before his body got there.
Yeah,
it's amazing. You can look out and you can see that they're there, but they're not there. And that's people you love. Young'uns, the Bible says in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, verse 9, that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I was preaching the other day to my folks, and as you've heard it all the time, preacher stepped on my toes. Well, you know preacher's not interested in your toes. He's interested in your heart. He's aiming for your heart. He wants you to have a heart after God. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 8, verse 21, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth.
Yes, right.
We want to think that something happens when you get old and all of a sudden you just get corrupt. There's something about that DNA that kicks in when you reach the age of accountability.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's why we ought to go after these kids and thank God for the opportunity to get them under the Bible, get them under a spiritual influence, get them saved young and kept clean and doing right for God. Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 6, according to that which is written in the book of the law of Moses, wherein the Lord commanded, saying, the father shall not be put to death for the children, nor the children will be put to death for the father, but every man shall be put to death for his own sin.
Amen.
And you think about that this evening, folks. In light of what we've read, tried to study, or tried to think about what the problem is, why do some people Why do some people that are saved, some people that have been doing right, some marriages that are dedicated, what causes them, for whatever reason, to end up going south? Departing from God, getting out of the house of God, getting away from the Word of God, getting away from the preaching, getting away from the work of Holy Spirit work. Oh, I believe it's just a heart problem. It's a heart problem.
Amen.
Oh, when the heart goes in the wrong direction, it causes the attitude of a problem of a prodigal. Boy, it's a description of the Laodicean age. We're living in the last age of the church history before the Lord comes back, as the good brother was singing just a few moments ago. And we know if there's one word that describes the apostasy of the Laodicean church, it's prodigal. Prodigal. Now, no one wants to be labeled a prodigal. Oh, you think about how do you identify a prodigal? How do you be honest if you have possibly the symptoms of a prodigal? What would the symptoms of a prodigal be if they're in your heart? Well, I am not a doctor. I don't claim to be a doctor. I wouldn't know where to begin. But you think about the human body. It puts out signals, signs to help us realize when we're not at our best, or we're coming down with something where we might need a little medication, rest, as the preacher mentioned just a few moments ago. Maybe we'll get a fever or a pain or shortness of breath, or maybe our chest, our heart will start having some problems, and we need to go and get some help. Symptoms. You think about that. Everybody in here ought to have a little sense when they're not on their A game or they're not at their best. And I don't know anybody that's always at their best.
Yeah, amen.
Well, it'd be a blessing to be there. And what we need to do? We go and see a doctor.
Yeah.
If you can, or a doc in the box, or maybe you're just raised in the old school where you just kind of medicate yourself. You know, you know, remedies, and you use some things where you know how to try to take care of yourself. I was in Mississippi a few years ago at a meeting, and it was an unusual meeting for preachers, and the pastor there, he had brought a doctor to the meeting to give free examinations to all the preachers. Check their blood, check their sugar, check their vital statistics. And boy, you know preachers, nothing preacher loves more than free. Amen. It's baptistic. By the way, you love it too. Don't get me wrong. Oh, and you know, we did all those examinations. It's a blessing when your blood pressure's on level course, boy. Now, you can't do nothing for your nerves. That's just going to be out of the banks. Amen. You're going to have to handle that. But I'm telling you, but there's also spiritual indicators that go off. There's red flags. There's the red light. There's just a conviction. There's your conscience. There's the Holy Ghost of God penetrating your heart and convicting you of sin. And the spiritual indicators that go off that God uses to help the saints of God identify the evidence, the signs, the marks that are manifest outwardly of something inward that is going to bring forth the attitude of a prodigal. Boy, I tell you, it's not that complicated. Hopefully, if we'll look at the only source that God gives us to look to, the Holy Scriptures, maybe we'll see some symptoms. And we will self-analyze with honesty where we're at. Oh, I tell you, if something's wrong, we'll correct it. If something's not working right, we'll address it. If there's a sin in our heart, we'll confess it and forsake it and get some mercy. If there's a need for a little help, we'll say, "Help, Lord, the godly man ceases, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." God's people come before God with a little honesty of their own. Because I can't analyze you. I don't know this dear brother and this young man. I mean, they look pretty good for a Friday night. It's amazing what soap and water will do. Amen? A little shampoo and a little poo-poo, whatever it is. I don't know what you put on. I'm not interested in all that. But it's amazing. Only you know where you're at with God. If you don't know where you're at, you need to grow. You need to mature. You need to grow as a Christian. I've been spending the whole year on Wednesday nights dealing with discipleship. Discipleship is not that you're better than someone else. It's a personal relationship with the Lord where you mature and grow in grace. And the Bible tells you there's a lot of things in the Bible that if you are growing and you are maturing, it'll manifest itself in your walk and your obedience and your love and your attitude. You start thinking about prayerfully if you see these symptoms that maybe others don't see. Maybe you hide them. We are some of the best play actors in the world. We can fake it better than anybody. Can't we, church? Oh, I tell you, we know how to play church, don't we? Oh, that's just in Alabama where I come from. Amen. That's a bobblehead doll. Amen. Oh, I tell you, we need some help. There's three things tonight by the help of the Lord. If you'll give me a little liberty tonight to be able to preach. Like Brother Earl says, if you'll give me a country minute, I'll take two. Amen. But I'd sure love to be able to just give you some things tonight that'll help you identify some symptoms that we are vulnerable or we're capable of manifesting in this day and time that we live in that are identified by the Lord. It's nothing just spectacular. It's not sensational. It's nothing you haven't read. It's right there in your old King James Bible. Three simple symptoms that will be manifest in the heart of an individual that is capable of going south on God. Going prodigal. First one's found in verse number 12. It says there, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, Give me. The first symptom that seems to manifest itself in our blessed society, in our spoiled society, and in our abundant society. We have everything. Many of us have two of everything. Some of us have three of everything. Boy, I tell you, we're in a generation that is absolutely spoiled. And yet many of us say, give. It's an attitude of wanting something for nothing. Now this old boy, it was his inheritance. His dad worked for it. It was coming to him. And boy, I'm telling you, you've been blessed with an inheritance. You've been blessed with a Christian heritage. You've been blessed with a Christian heritage. You've been blessed with faith. You've been blessed with the Bible. You've been blessed with 30 years as an independent Baptist church. Now, that's a big deal. Big deal. Oh, it seems like we're living in a day in corporate scandal where, you know, they're wanting the people in the job, like Brother Charlie was talking about, to live on peanuts, and they just have bonuses out the bank, Yahoo billions. Corporate Wall Street never have been punished one time for the 08 collapse that destroyed a generation's savings of their 401k. Not one banker went to jail. Boy, I tell you, it ought to make you, it does make you upset because you hate to see God's people hurt. But when you start thinking about all that takes place, the abuse, every prodigal seems to manifest an attitude of wanting something for nothing. They do. They think it's, they deserve entitlement, it's called. They think it owed. They're dealing in Washington over the slave issue where they're wanting repetition, I think that's the word, of something that happened 200-300 years ago. I'm going, hey, I'm an immigrant. What's my part? The Irishman, the Chinaman, man, they were as low life as anybody in America at the beginning of this nation. Built the railroads and done work that nobody else would do. And boy, it's amazing though. And boy, it's amazing. It's a mess. Corporate America has embraced a prodigal attitude and it's misguided a concept. It's destroyed the work ethic.
Yes, sir.
It's okay to ask for your pay at the end of the week if you've worked. Now, Brother Charlie didn't ask the roofer if they earned another a pay raise. Amen? They may not be worth $2 more a week. I don't know. I'm sure they are.
Amen.
Probably worth $5. Can I get an amen right there?
Amen.
Somebody make a motion. Doesn't work like that, does it? Oh, I tell you, the founding fathers of our Constitution did not believe it was the role of the government to provide the people with something for nothing.
Yeah.
You don't see that in early America. When I came to the United States, immigrated in 1981, I mean some 38 years ago, I came with $1,000, a bag of tools and a bag of clothes, and I tell you what, I didn't have anything but a desire to go to work, and I've never been without work since.
Yeah. Yeah.
Never been on unemployment once, yeah. Never asked the government for a dime, amen.
Yeah.
I didn't expect it, but we're living in a socialistic mindset today.
Yeah.
Everybody's got their hand out. Kind of like Proverbs, where old Solomon began to conclude his wisdom, or in the book of Proverbs chapter 30 says, where the horse leech hath two daughters crying, give, give.
You're right.
See, it's not just a boy thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got gals today that expect it, and they're blessed, and they're spoiled. And I'm telling you what, mom and daddy have been good to them.
Yeah.
I believe the principle of the government and the institution of the foundation of our great nation plainly declared that the Bill of Rights and the government's role was to protect the Constitution of basic human rights and liberties and religious and secular freedom for all. Everybody deserved an opportunity.
Right.
If they'd work.
Yeah.
I understand it's been abused.
Yeah.
I understand we're not living in a perfect union.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm not living in a perfect body. I'm not going to a perfect church. I'm not preaching as a perfect preacher.
Yeah. You're right.
I tell you, it was not conceived a government that was responsible to provide something for nothing.
Amen.
Subsequently, the mentality of many Americans looked to Washington instead of God.
You're right.
From the 60s and the hippie movement to the great society of the great Lyndon B. Johnson. Oh my goodness, what a mess he instituted. It's created a generation that are well rehearsed, extremely brilliant in playing the role of a prodigal's attitude, saying, give, give. That give me mentality creates an attitude of people that are unthankful for what they've already got.
That's right.
They're never satisfied.
You're right.
They don't appreciate the blessings. It's all about me first, and I want, and I need, and I must have, and I don't like, and I want this, and give me this. And they come to the house of God expecting the church to continue what the government is expected to do. And that's the last thing the church is here to do. I believe the church is here not only to give you the gospel and give you help from the scriptures, but it gives you an opportunity to give. Amen. As the preacher was preaching just a few moments ago, I love this time of the year. We're about to go into the best, not October. I'm not a big fan of your trick or treat, smell your feet. I don't care for that. But I love the weather and I love Thanksgiving.
Yeah, yes, sir.
I tell you, there's something about people that are grateful.
Right.
And boy, I'm telling you, if anything happens in this good church in 2019, it ought to be an attitude that's manifest where we're thankful to God. We're thankful for our pastor. We're thankful for our church. We're thankful for the doctrine, the truth. We're thankful for the opportunity to worship. We're thankful we live in North Carolina and not Alabama.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you got that.
Yeah.
Oh, dear church, you know what the Bible does say over in the book of Romans? When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful.
Amen.
But their foolish heart was darkened, and they professed themselves to be wise. And they became fools.
Yeah.
Oh, dear church, it's amazing to me. I love Thanksgiving. I'm telling you here tonight, just a simple principle. Unthankful people is a symptom of somebody that's going prodigal.
Yes, sir.
Thankful people never go prodigal as a rule. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Did I say that right? I know I did. I need to say it again.
Yeah.
Unthankful. You're like a bunch of teenagers. Like Sam Gibbs says, you have to tell every teenager everything twice. Amen.
Amen.
Unthankful people always go prodigal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thankful people never go prodigal.
Yeah.
Oh, they have a song in their heart. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I love that, don't you? That does my heart good when I hear that song. Oh, I want to ask you tonight, if the Holy Ghost of God could examine your heart and search your heart. And we know that's what the Bible does. According to Hebrews chapter 4, the Word of God is quick and powerful, and it's just sharp, and it penetrates you. Does what man can't do. It supernaturally goes inside and finds out how you're doing.
Yeah.
If you've got a temperature, if you're hot for God, if you're cold for God, if you're headed the wrong direction, and he tries, like we talked about last night, get you back on track. Amen. That's what revival's all about. Back on track. Amen. Oh, dear church. Wanting something for nothing. Something for nothing. Second thing, and I'll move on. He says here in verse number 13, he manifests an attitude, and yet many days after, this younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living. The second symptom of somebody that is about to go south, east, west, north, doesn't matter. They leave their place, like your preacher's been talking about your place. You know what they do? They manifest an attitude that the grass is greener somewhere else. Oh man, that's corny around here. Am I telling you what? That old hillbilly, that old Bible, that old preaching business, that old stomping, that old enthusiastic, that old bit of a fired up. I tell you what, went out with the ark. This is 2019. We are millennials. Hey, I'm going to go somewhere where I fit in. This place cramps my style. They want to be cool. Can't enjoy life where they're at anymore. They want to go to the far country. I can't understand that. Now, I'm not saying God can't take you to the far country. There's a lot of people in the far country that need to be reached. But when God's in it, what a blessing that is. And that's not what we're talking about tonight. That's a missions conference thought. Amen. Somebody needs to go to the far country.
Amen.
But not the prodigal. He needs to stay where he's at. His bread and butter's good right where he's at, and he doesn't even know it.
Yeah.
He's so blessed. Mom and daddy paying the bills, cleaning the house, supplying the food, putting gas in the truck, probably paying the insurance, taking care of everything, and he's just, nothing satisfies him. That's the way it is sometimes in church. Pastor's been preaching, been faithful for years and years and years, and they say, well, I'm telling you what, we just need something better. And good luck on that. Oh, it's an abundance out there. All you got to do is go and find it. There's a Bible-believing church on every corner in North Carolina. There's not. The grass is not greener on the other side of the fence. What that does is it creates a symptom of discontentment and that faraway look in their eye.
Yeah.
You're talking to them and the lights are on, but nobody's home.
Yeah.
There's some, and what preacher hasn't? Your pastor stood in this pulpit and he saw you leave before you leave.
Yeah.
And it bothers him. And he gets fired up, and God stirs him, and he preaches because he doesn't want you to be a prodigal. He doesn't want you to end up in the hog pen.
Right.
He knows the consequences, church.
Amen.
When's the last time you heard someone rebellious tell you that they were, I tell you what, I'm fed up with this place, I'm going to go to church. I tell you what, I'm fed up with this preaching. I think I'll just get my Bible out. I think I need to just get in the woods and go and pray. I think I'll go to the mountains and get alone with God. I think I'll go down and get my fishing pole out and meditate a little bit. No, they all have that faraway look in that. They think the bright lights in the big city and sin and the excitement thereof is what they're missing. And nowadays, dear church, you look at this thing here looking at me. I don't know what it's doing. It's just dangerous. The things that a man can say in a message, and there it is, it's right out there for you to hear.
Yeah.
And boy, it's so easy nowadays. People, they can go to the end of the world in the privacy of their own phone.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
You wonder how they're lured. You wonder how they're enticed. You wonder why? I'm telling you, there needs to be some kind of control over your youngins. I know you're worried about where they're going to be, and they need to have a $200 cell phone so you can call them when they're out too late.
Yeah.
Where's your brain at?
Right.
Yeah. Come on, preacher.
Oh, what did we do before we had a cell phone? We didn't let them go. What dad hasn't fought with a teenage boy when he had to come in at a certain time? And dad says, this is my house, and you're going to come in when I say so, and if you don't like it, get out.
Yeah.
That's what my daddy said.
Yes, sir. Mine too.
I was too smart. I said, I ain't going anywhere. I got a good here. Amen. I'm glad God doesn't do that. But God does say it's going to be His way or the highway.
Right.
There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And somebody's got to be in charge. And we were playing today, and we run into an old boy today, and he said, obey them. He's an old gardener, old guy cutting grass, and he had his verse for the day, and he ran after the preacher, and he said, look at the verse I had for the day. Obey them that have the spiritual rule over you. I said, man, you ain't going to have that verse thrown in your face every day. Say, why? Well, they don't want you to get that discontented, far away look in your eye. Folks, I'm telling you, there's nothing like being content with what you've got.
Yeah.
Amen.
Oh, nothing like being thankful for what you got.
Yeah, amen.
Nothing like being happy where you are.
Yep.
You think it's better down the road? Some of you dear ladies, you think it's better with somebody else? Some of you think you'd be better in somebody else's house? Some of you men, you think you'd be better off driving somebody else's truck? Some of you think you'd be better off in somebody else's job? I mean, nowadays it's everywhere. People are just not. Bible says, godliness with contentment is great gain.
Amen.
Oh, I know you think you're something. I know you look at the mirror and you say, You married a hunk, but he turned into a chunk. I know how that works. Bless your heart. Nowadays, some folks, they remember what, and they go to that internet, and they go back to when they were a teenager, and they start talking to people when they were teenagers, and before you know it, they're romantically involved in a stupid internet relationship, and they ain't got a lick of sense.
Yeah.
I got a good missionary. Your pastor supported him as long as I have. He's been in Scotland for 36 years, and he had a couple in his church, and one of the men started having a romantic relationship on the internet with somebody in Kansas. How do you have a romantic relationship in the internet with somebody in Kansas?
Right.
Where's your brain?
Yeah.
Ended up causing them to be divorced. I'm telling you what, I didn't mean nothing bad. I wasn't trying to get out of line. I was just, yeah, I know what you were doing. You were far away country in your eye.
Yeah.
You were discontented. This preacher's not good enough. This Bible's not good enough. This church isn't good enough. My goodness, God's not good enough. Boy, the prodigal, of course, he chooses pleasure over peace. He's looking for excitement. Folks, I'm telling you, it'd be nice if life was, well, I don't know if it would be. It'd be absolutely a nervous wreck if everything had to be, you know, just all the time. You know, people nowadays, they want to come to church and it's on all. It's not on all the time. Life's not on all the time. You're not on all the time. You're not on top of your game most of the time. Most of the time, you aren't even out of first. I mean, you're in reverse, going the wrong direction. But because when pleasure becomes central in your thinking, you think the weekends are for having fun. And I'm stuck here at the house making dinner. Well, thank God you can make a meal for your dear family. You husbands, come home, bring the paycheck, bring the bacon home, give it to the missus. Amen. Maybe she'll give you a tip and let you have a little bit of money when you're done. That's what you're supposed to do. Bring a man don't provide for his own. He's worse than an infidel. He becomes a prodigal.
Right.
You're supposed to take care of him.
Yeah.
Get an amen right there.
Yeah.
Pleasure is the most important focal point in people's thinking nowadays. You've seen that. Preacher was talking about it. T-ball, boating, golfing. I'm not against going to the beach. I go into the mountains. I mean, going to the moon. I don't care where you go. Some of you have been to the moon and back, by the way you look. Man, I'm telling you, nowadays we've got a generation that's restless. They can't come into church and just be still. Bible says, be still, know that I'm God.
Amen.
Well, you know what you need to be still with? So God can speak to you, get your attention. Hardest thing in the world. Old time Christianity, they used to come into church. When I grew up in the old country, I know the culture's different. I'm not expecting that in North Carolina and Alabama. But they had a cultural thing over there. When they'd come into church, it wasn't all chit-chat and talking and going over all the deal. They'd come in, sit down, and just pray. Just see them in their places. Just be sitting there and reading their Bible, waiting on God to meet with them. I don't know if that's all wrong.
Right.
I'm not against you having good fellowship and fellowshipping after. I love good fellowship. God's people need that. It's part of being a good Christian.
Amen.
But I'm telling you what, when people are restless and they're never settled, you need to be settled tonight.
Yeah,
there's some things that are settled. Get your salvation settled, like this young brother was singing about the other day. If you don't even know that you've been born again, man, what a mess.
Yeah.
If you don't know this Bible's the Word of God, if you don't know the importance of the local church, if you don't realize how important God uses preaching to try to help you, I love God.
Amen.
You're not settled. It's hard to get folks settled. Oh, I understand sometimes a preacher can sound a little dry, a little boring, repetitious. Been there and done that, doing it tonight a little bit. Your pastor's covered everything I'm talking about. I'm just here to support him, lift up his arms, and help him in the victory. Oh, I'm telling you what, dear church. But you think you're missing something in the far country like the prodigal. You're not missing nothing. I'm telling you. Well, he has a discontent look in his eye. He has a pleasure over peace mentality. But lastly, and I'll be done. Appreciate your patience with me tonight on a Friday night. Third thing this old boy had in verse number 14, he had a spend over save attitude. He blew everything. He didn't realize. He didn't have that old mindset. Look what it says there in verse number 14. And when he had spent all. Some folks in 2019 aren't happy until they are broke. They break everything. They blow everything. They blow their faith. It's apostasy. They blow their fellowship. They blow their family. They blow their finances. I mean, they just are good at blowing it.
Yeah.
Now we need to stop that.
Yeah, amen.
I mean, old time school, you know how it was. Money's not made on trees.
Right.
And I'm telling you, it doesn't hurt you, as the preacher's talking about a little earlier. It doesn't hurt you to have a little mindset of save over spend. That's one of the good things of grandma and grandpa. You say, man, I'm telling you what, they had money hid everywhere. Well, they came through some hard times and they realized you don't blow it. It's hard to come by.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm telling you, you can't just blow it every time you got it. Sometimes you don't have it to blow. I mean, many of you dear folks are just living paycheck to paycheck, and you need help with that to have wisdom.
Yeah, yeah.
I understand how difficult that is. But the prodigal lived for today with no thought for the future.
Yeah.
He had this windfall. I mean, a bunch of dough came on him, and he said, happy days are here again. I'm going to the casino. I'm going to the party. I'm going to play. And he blew it. Totally embrace the self-gratification for today. Self-gratification. How make you feel good? If you feel good, do it.
Yeah.
You know. Be a better you. Blow it. Dear church, you only have one life, and it'll soon be past. And I'm telling you, the pastor, the Bible, the Holy Spirit, the church is here to help you have some quality of life. Have a little old-time conviction about a penny earned is a penny saved. You say a penny's nothing. Wouldn't you be amazed how many of them can add up? This old boy, he was reckless with his substance. And he was carnal and worldly with his pleasure in the far country. And he was totally reckless. Well, I'm telling you, if there's one doctrine that's not necessarily addressed enough, and I'm not saying it's not addressed here, but if you'll read your Bible, the New Testament especially, the Lord Jesus Christ spends an awful lot of time on stewardship. Taking care of your body, taking care of the things that God has given you, the goods that God has given you, and then taking care of the things that the carnal things that God gives you, and you're a good steward. I know this isn't exactly the most exciting stuff that people want to hear on a Friday night, but that was the symptom that this old boy had. And he wasted it, and he exhausted all. Some people, like the preacher said, they're just out of everything. They ain't got no sugar in the cupboard good night in the morning. Whoever went next, man, some of you can't go next door because you don't even know your neighbors. Or it's a meth lab, one or the other, I'm telling you. What he did was he totally sacrificed the permanent on the altar of the immediate. He wanted to take care of himself right now. So he blew what he had. Now I'm here to tell you what, dear church, we got some hard times are coming down the pike.
Yeah.
I'm telling you what, these last days, principalities and powers are busy. Doctrines of devils, seducing spirits are working overtime, trying to dishearten, discourage, like the pastor just preached a little bit ago. And I'm telling you what, the symptom of blowing what God has given you is not a good attitude. You need to embrace it. You need to undergird it. You need to realize it's important. We need to have an importance of the value of spiritual things. We need to realize the future is our inheritance. Our family, our kids. I love the youth of this church and the future. We don't want to give it up. We don't want to say we're going to close the doors. Or we're going to blow it. We're going to go like everybody else. We have an inheritance that God wants to give us. Especially these hills of North Carolina. Oh, when I grew up, and Brother Andrews, especially I was a younger preacher, Brother Andrews was, he'd been around a while, and I just saved, thank God. And I remember coming to these Carolina hills, and these hills were absolutely gold to this young preacher. It was full of old men of God that knew God and had a touch of God and loved God and weren't afraid to tell people what God said. And they helped people, and there's still an attitude. I'm not sure how good it is in 2019. As far as, you know, great work of God going on in the Carolinas. But I don't know about all that. But I sure would like a great work of God going on in Hopewell Baptist Church.
Amen.
30 years is a big deal. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, dear church. You know, how many of us are preparing for the inevitable judgment seat of Christ where we give an account of our stewardship? Paul says, therefore persuade men, and the terror of the Lord. This old boy, he was fortunate. After he blew it all, he sure had some scars on him. He had some things on him that he could never get off. He never was the same, and he was fortunate that he was able to get back to the Father's house. Not all prodigals make it back.
That's right.
And the thing about this story, I have a series of messages I like to preach on the prodigal son. I thank God he had a daddy that didn't sell the farm.
Yes, sir.
There was still a farm to come home to when he made the decision to come home. And that's what I say about the pastor. There's some folks that have left. There's some families that are tore up. There's some moms and dads that are heartbroken. And they love and they pray and they're waiting on that boy to come home.
Yeah.
But don't sell the farm so when he comes home, there's a home to come home to. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, that's the heritage.
Amen.
That's the blessing of the Hopewell Baptist Church. If the Lord tarries and we have another generation of young people, wouldn't it be a blessing to be able to come back if God lets us? And maybe I'll come back in 15 years. And Brother Charlie, he'll be in the nursing home or in heaven. Amen. I mean, he'll be 80. That's 75, 80, 90 years old. He might be still preaching like a young fella. Amen. I hope he is. Some of God's old men have done that.
Sure.
I'll be 75. I tell you, I'll be drooling at the mouth. He'll have to come and help me, amen. But boy, what a blessing to have your preacher here just stand steady to the Bible. How about you, dear church? You going to go prodigal? You got any symptoms? Everybody does. It's not that, oh, I'm wicked. No, this whole DNA is never satisfied. Guys, the man never satisfied. Oh, it always looks better, but it's not. Usually it's better over in the other, you know, the grass is greener over the septic tank. You've heard that preached over the years. And I'm telling you what, it's a blessing to have a little money to pay the missions and to pay the bills and to pay their tithes. But you can't blow it all or you'll blow your inheritance. God's been good to you, church.
Amen.
He's gave you a lot. Much to be grateful for here in the Hopewell Baptist Church. Got a great heritage. Got a great future by God's grace according to His Word. Oh, don't go prodigal. Father, bless your dear people tonight as we conclude this service. Thank you for the Word of God. Bless the pastor as he comes. Help the dear church as they prepare for their next 5, 10, as long as you tarry. Help them, please. Thank you for Preacher Andrews. What a great, faithful man of God he's been all these years. And continue to help him and bless him. And I hope he has 15 more great years of service in the Lord's work. Thank you for his example of faithfulness. Help Pastor Carpenter tonight. Help his dear family. Bless his church. Bless this congregation. Help them not go south. Help them not go contemporary. Help them not go worldly. Help them stay with the old paths. Encourage them tonight. Bless these young people as they look to God. Have your will and way in their hearts.